Psalm 56, to the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands, a michtam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let's pray once more. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge this morning our utter dependence upon you as the God who rules over all. We come to you, O God, because it is easy for us to become fearful. There are so many causes for our concern in this world. There is much opposition to your truth. There are many dangers to our bodies and our souls. There is widespread disdain for your word. There is no thought of you, high or low, in the land. And so, our God, we are coming to you because you have made us to know you, and you have called us to yourself, and you have formed us as a people for your praise. And so, O God, we will praise you. Though all the world be silent besides, your people are determined to glorify and to honour your great name as the God of our salvation. We have learned, O Lord, whenever we are afraid, to put our trust in you. We have often reminded ourselves that the arm of man is not worth relying on and is not worth fearing when the arm of the Lord is for us, when the God of Jacob is on our side. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that this day you would impress upon our souls the realities of your saving and your keeping power, that we might not lose sight of all that you are in yourself and to us, that our hearts might be drawn out to you, that our trust may be firmly in you, that we will not be afraid because we are trusting in the God of salvation. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do that with regard to every fear, that whatever may be the concerns or even the panics that sometimes rise up in our hearts, that we might resolve them all by drawing near to you and by looking to your grace and your goodness. Father, we thank you that there is salvation for those who are afraid of hell and death. We thank you that there is mercy in Christ Jesus, that all who come to you by him will by no means be cast out, that he is ready to receive all who flee to him for refuge. And as, O Lord, we have learned how fainting and troubled souls cried out in deepest need, so, O Lord, we have glimpsed something of your goodness to those who call upon you. And we are here to ask that this day you would favour us with your presence, that you would smile upon your scattered people and show yourself a good shepherd who still provides and protects. O Lord, we feel the limitations of our present circumstances. We feel the weight of the situation pressing down upon us. And so, our God, we are coming to you and we are calling upon you. We're casting ourselves again upon you that you might show your strength and your favour toward us. Lord, have mercy then, have mercy. When our souls are distressed and troubled and we call upon you, you, O God, be our refuge and our strength. And be that for us even now, our God, we plead, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've seen recently in our Bibles how the humble heart seeks refuge in God. We've seen how Jonah's fainting heart, his fainting soul, cried out to the Lord from the depths. What I want to emphasize as we look at Psalm 56 this morning is where these people turn in their hour of need and in the time of their fear. Now, we've looked a little at David, we've considered a little of Jonah. We are here with David again, writing at one of the lowest points of his experience. When he writes this, he is among the Philistines, captured in Gath. Now, Gath is the hometown of one of David's earliest and most notable enemies, Goliath. And David is homeless, helpless, and harassed here in Gath. He seems to be utterly at the mercy of wicked men. He cries out in the opening verses, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." And you need to remember that the reason why David is amongst the Philistines in Gath is because he's actually running away from King Saul, who is currently after his blood. And so David is now in a situation when fear is fighting to consume his soul. I mean, just imagine how you would feel if you looked up and you saw around your home, or you saw around whatever building you might be in, a ring of enemies waiting for your blood. And you knew that if you could break through them, that there are more enemies waiting beyond them. You would be gripped, I think, by fear. And David fights back against his fear in verse 3. "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." And then he develops that. "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" And we're going to look at David's trusting heart. We've seen humbled hearts brought low and saying that the Lord help me. We've seen fainting souls as Jonah's brought down into the depths and he cries out for help. And this then is looking at that response of trust in time of need. And we see here, first of all, that fear is real. Fear is real. David's not a stupid man. He's not a foolish man. He's not going to deny that he is afraid. He is not going to boast that he's the brave guy who never has any problems. He's talking about the anxiety and the apprehension that arises because of his present circumstances. And it's likely that this is not the first time that David has felt afraid. You know that from his childhood, he'd been the shepherd for his father's sheep. And he talks about the times that the lions and the wolves would have come against the lambs of the flock. Don't you think that there were times when David went down to fight those animals, when there was some kind of fear, anxiety in his heart? He's fearful because of the Philistines. He's fearful because of Saul. There might have been a moment when he looked at Goliath. Now, notice we're not saying that he's not learned to do this. But there's a gripping fear. David knows what it is to be afraid. Jonah knew what it was to be afraid. Why did the commander of the armies of the hosts of God say to Joshua, "Do not fear"? It's because he knew that this man, who was a bold and courageous man, would feel the weight of responsibility. Or you think of Elijah. After that great demonstration of spiritual courage on Mount Carmel, When Jezebel threatens to kill him, Elijah runs for his life. I'm not sure that there's anything sinful in itself in being afraid. It's quite normal when we look around us and see dangers threatening us to ask, what now? Or what next? The sin may come in our response to the things that make us afraid. But at least we've got here the reminder that we often do, and the best of men do, feel gripping and clinging and dragging fears. Real distress, real confusion of soul. I thought about whether or not you could even say that the Lord Jesus Christ feared. There were times when he would face particular challenges. Now, he never sinned. But if we hear anything of the voice of the Lord Jesus in some of the Psalms in particular, and we're thinking of these as reflections of his experience, pointing forward to some of the trials that he would undergo. As a real man, there may have been moments when the Lord Jesus looked around him and saw these dangers pressing in upon him. And he made a sinless response to the circumstances of fear. So fear is real. We don't need to pretend that we're never afraid or not afraid. And fear is also recurring. That means it comes again and again. David says, whenever I am afraid. Or we might translate that, in the day that I am afraid. It's the period, whatever day I'm in, from sunset to sunset, that whole period, whether it's this one or another one, each day I'm afraid, any day I'm afraid, every day that I am afraid. Now, some of us are spared fear day by day. Not everybody faces daily threats and fears. Certainly not everybody faces the same kinds of dangers that David did. But fear has a habit of haunting us. If you've ever had to contend with fear in your heart, you will know that sometimes it's new fears and sometimes it's old fears. New fears because something has changed in your circumstances. Something new has happened to you and you find now a new reason to be afraid. There's a new cause for you to fear. Or perhaps something happens that you've not been afraid of before, but this time you feel the cold finger of terror gripping your heart. Maybe it's just that you've been battered by something so much that when it now happens again, fear begins to press in upon you. Or it may be old fears. There might be something that you were afraid of once and you've not had to deal with it for a long time. But then the same thing happens again and you feel that old familiar surge of distress in your heart. Or maybe you get old responses that come back again. You thought you'd got over something. You thought you'd got past it. But you feel the same rising terror once more. David seems to be broadening out here the principle, and I want to try and do that in some measure, because he's saying, yes, my enemies are all around me, but in the day of my fear, whenever I am afraid, each time that I feel this pressure in my soul, in the day of my fear, I will trust you. Fear then is real. Fear is recurring. It often comes back. Every morning that David woke up in Gath of Philistia with his enemies around about him. So every morning he woke up, I wonder if he struggled to sleep. I wonder if he heard noises in the night and thought, is this them coming to get me? I wonder if he woke with a start in the morning, fearful that his enemies might be lying in wait for him or approaching him unawares. In the day of my fear, because fear is recurring. And then again, as we broaden this out, fear is far reaching. Can anyone say, I have never been afraid? I've never had a reason to fear. Perhaps if we're very, very young, we've got no idea. But as soon as we have any idea of what's going on around us, fear is probably one of the things with which we have to deal. For some of us, it would be the threats of the wicked. But there is so much more. Some of us are afraid of real things. And some of us are afraid of things that we imagine. And sometimes it's the things that we're afraid might happen that are more fearful than the things that are really there. Sometimes we build up terrors out of our own imaginations. They might never come to pass, but they feel very real and very close, and they end up crippling us with fear. You might be afraid of what's happened in the past. You might be afraid that something will come back to bite you, come back to haunt you, that some past event will still have an impact. There might be fears in the present, in the things that are happening at this time, with this pandemic that's sweeping the globe, and we're not quite sure what's going to happen next. It may be fears with regard to the future. What will happen? What is likely to or possible somewhere down the line? Your fears may be very specific. You might be able to say, it is this particular thing that I fear. And some of us have particular objects. There are things, there are experiences that we think about and we're not sure we'd ever be able to handle them. Other people have more vague fears. They're just afraid. You might say, why are you? I don't know. I just am. Some of our fears are definite and some of them are nameless. We can't quite put our finger on it, but it still troubles us. Some of us fear for ourselves and some of us fear for other people. If you have any particular responsibility, perhaps for a wife or a husband or for your children or for your parents or for friends, or you're a businessman and there are people who are dependent upon you, or you're working in a hospital or a school and the children or the fellow staff members or the patients and they're depending upon you. It's not just fear for yourself, it's fear for other people. You might be afraid of yourself, afraid of what is in your heart, afraid of some of the habits that you've got. You might be afraid of other people. There may be real threats to you. It's horrible to think that under these lockdown circumstances, there are not just women and children, but particularly women and children who are threatened by people who ought to be their protectors. There are husbands, and there are boyfriends, and there are dads, and there are stepfathers, and whatever else it may be. There are mums or stepmums, and they are cruel, and they are dangerous, and they're a threat, and it's terrifying. You never know when the door's going to open and who or what's going to come through. Some of our fears are sudden. They leap at us out of nowhere. We're not waiting for them. Others are sustained. It's the pressure. It's the grind. You could be, to use just an illustration, you could be attacked on the street and there'd be a sudden rush of fear as a stranger leaps out at you. Or it could be going to work or going to school and there's that bully boy or that girl who's got it in for you. And every day there's that throbbing ache because you know you've got to face it over again. How many? How much fear there is in our lives? We're so feeble. The coronavirus. Will it get me? Will it get my family? Will it get my friends? And if not that, your other health concerns, your sicknesses, your diseases, yours and those of others. Some people are terrified that the lockdown's going to be extended. Some people are terrified that the lockdown is not going to be extended. It doesn't seem reasonable, but you can put it out there. And I saw some stuff on social media just the other day. Somebody said, you know, are they going to extend the lockdown? And the first two responses were, oh, I hope so, and oh, I hope not. Two people equally fearful of two different responses. Perhaps you've got hospital appointments coming up and you tremble because of what the news might be, the results of a scan or the need for an operation. It may just be a shopping trip. Is your crushed in with other people. And you just don't know whether or not they're sick or you're sick, and who will give what to whom. You may be fearful because you could lose your job. You're on furlough at the moment. The money's not coming in. You don't know how you're going to provide for yourself or for somebody else. It might be relationship breakdowns within the family or amongst friends, and you're not sure what the future holds. It might be your own guilt. Guilt makes you afraid because you know that you need to answer for your sin. You might be afraid because you're ashamed of something that you are, ashamed of something that you do or have done. And you wonder whether other people will find out about it. Maybe long in the past, but there's something that keeps niggling at your conscience. And you know that there is crime, there is sin, there is wickedness, there is transgression. And you know that if someone were to find out, and you know really that God already knows, you might be afraid of sorrow or loss. People that you know and that you love who will die, or you yourself. You may be afraid of that great enemy, death. You may be afraid of the judgment that follows death. You may, and you ought to be, afraid of the hell that God has reserved for those who do not know him and who rebel against him. See, you may not be in precisely the same situation as David. You may be, in some measure, or feel yourself to be, homeless, helpless, friendless, harassed. David talks about his wanderings, verse 8. He talks about his woes. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? David was so afraid he cried. This great warrior, surrounded by enemies, weeps because of his fear. The wickedness that he sees around me. People who are ready to swallow him up. People who are twisting his words. They're planning their assaults. What's his response? When fear threatens to swallow us up, what can we oppose to it? This fear that is real. This fear that is recurring, this fear that is far-reaching. Whenever I am afraid, what will you do? Where can you turn? What has David already shown us? What has Jonah demonstrated to us? What can you put as the opposite to fear? How can David go from saying in verse 3, whenever I am afraid, to verse 4, I will not fear? How does he fight that battle? And how can you fight that battle? Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh, what can man do to me? This is deliberate defiance. David defies his fear. Fear sends David to God. And when fear does that, fear has done a good thing in us. Now, I'm not saying again that fear is a good thing in itself, but if fear brings us to God, if fear brings us to trust in the Lord God, then it is doing a good thing in us and for us. We need to learn to make God our first resort in a time of fear. To make God our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. David says, I will trust. I will cling. Now, you've probably seen, at least some of us, those limpets that are on the rocks down by the shore. The little shells. And you may have tried to take one of those off. It's very difficult to do. Because as soon as you put any pressure on that limpet, it clings to the rock. And once it's stuck onto the rock, You'll have a job with almost any tool to get it off. And that's David's response then to fear. As soon as he feels the pressure of fear, as soon as he feels that gripping, chilling, roiling, boiling sense in his own soul, he clings, and he clings to God. You see, it would be no point, that limpet, clinging to a little piece of wood. You might be clinging very tightly to the wood, but the piece of wood's going to be taken away. It could be washed away on the tide or carried away by anyone or anything. You see, what makes this faith worthwhile, what gives this trust substance, is that David is clinging to God. I will trust in you. You, O Lord, are my refuge whenever I am afraid. It is toward you that I turn. You see, this is why trusting in God is so vital. It's why I always emphasize that just saying, I trust, is not enough. Do you have faith? Who cares? Who do you have faith in? It's your faith in God that is an antidote to fear. Oh, I'm trusting in myself. I'm trusting in my funds. I'm trusting in my friends. I'm trusting in my family. Those things will fail. They do not carry you. They cannot bear your weight. Oh, says David, I'm afraid. I'm weeping with fear. I have no friends left. I have no home. I have no refuge. And so I turn to God as my help and my strength. I'm looking to the Almighty God of heaven and earth to help me. If God is for us, said the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, who can be against us? And that's why David asks or declares twice in verse 4 and verse 11, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? He's asking in effect, what is greater than God? Any one Philistine? No. Any number of Philistines? No. You set anything in this world against God, and God is infinitely greater. You can set Satan himself against God, and you will find that Satan shrinks before the majesty and the glory of the Most High. You see, David knows that this is his God, and when he's clinging to his God, all is well. This is a God who is reconciled to him. David trusts this God. David knows that God forgives his sins. David knows that he is a redeemed man, that God has set his love upon him and has brought him to himself. That's a God that David can make his refuge at every moment. Whatever men can do to you, God can do far, far worse or better. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, don't be afraid of those who can only touch your body. If you're going to have any kind of fear, you ought to fear God. Men can only assault your flesh. God, if you come against him as his enemy, God will punish your soul for eternity. God's power, God's majesty, that is no fear in the wrong sense to God's people. They revere him, yes, but all that strength and all that might, all that which is a danger to those who come against him, shall they escape by iniquity? Verse 7, in anger cast down the peoples, O God. David says in effect, Lord, you deal with my enemies. You deal with those who come against me. You deal with these circumstances. I will trust in you because I am your child and you are my God. What is this trust then? It is confidence because of reliance. Reliance on God leads to confidence in God. You may have had the experience not just as a little child, but I think this is perhaps more typical. There's someone or something that you're afraid of. Perhaps it's a big dog. You've never seen a dog this big and it's barking loudly. Or perhaps there's someone that you don't recognize and there's something in the look in their eye, it makes them afraid. What do you do? If you've got a dad who loves you, if you've got a mum who cares for you, you run. You run home, or you run to where dad or mum is. And what do? You throw yourself into daddy's arms. And you cling to him. And he wraps his arms around you and he lifts you up out of danger. And he says, I've got you. I'll take care of you. And that's what David's doing here. He's running to his God and to his Father. He's running to the same God that we need to run to today. To a God who holds open his arms in Jesus Christ. To a God who is no weaker now than he was in the days of David, because he is from everlasting to everlasting. To a God whose mercy endures forever. To a God whose arm is not shortened that it cannot save. To a God whose ear has not become deaf, whose eye is not blind toward the needs of his people. You see, this God, and only this God, is a sufficient help against every foe. He is the only answer to every fear. Now, I am not saying that this is an excuse for stupidity or passivity. David didn't say, well, I'm trusting in God, so I'm going to not bother putting on my armour. I'm not going to keep an eye over my shoulder. David didn't say, I'm trusting in God, so I'm going to make my home amongst the Philistines. I'm going to stay in the most dangerous place I know just to prove that God can take care of me. Rather, it is an acknowledgement and a dependence upon God's perfections. That when we have no other refuge, when we have nowhere else to turn, our first port of call is God. We've come to know him. We've come to rely upon him. You notice that David identifies particularly the word of God, the promises of God. That God has said that he will watch over us and take care of us. The providences of God, we trust them too. The Lord's government of the world that he has made. That he can order all things for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. I'm not saying then that David shouldn't escape from the Philistines when he has the opportunity. That David shouldn't keep his eyes open, shouldn't lock his door at night, shouldn't keep his sword perhaps close to his bed. What I'm saying is this. When every other help is gone, and when every other hope fails, there is a mighty and merciful God in heaven to whom we can go. We ought to be afraid of death. Because if we face it without God, we are lost. We ought to be afraid of hell. Because if God is not for us, then hell opens for us. There are many things in this world too that make us afraid. And not all the strength of human arm and not all the wealth of human resource can defend us against some of the things that come in from without or that come up from within. But David has found a remedy. There are many times he's going to repeat this. If you read through his experience, if you read through the prophets, if you read through the histories, if you read through the gospels, if you read through the Acts, if you look at the letters, we live in a world that contains much which we might fear. that David has given us the remedy of a trusting heart. Whenever I am afraid, whatever the circumstances around me may be, as a child of God, I will trust in the Lord. What is the only antidote to fear? What is the only thing that you can oppose to your terrors? It is the God who saves sinners. It is faith in Him. It is clinging to God as God and your God. I don't know what you're afraid of today. I don't know what you're afraid of as you listen to this message. But I do know this. Whenever you are afraid, you can and you must trust in God. Whatever comes in this or days ahead, whatever looms or lurks behind you, whatever seems to loom ahead of you, whether it comes suddenly or the pressure builds, whether it's something in your soul, something in your flesh, where it's something you have to do or something that someone is doing against you, cry out to the God who can save your soul, who can preserve your body, who can take care of all that you are. Entrust yourself to Him and go on doing so. Whenever the fear comes back, whenever that rising darkness in your soul threatens to overwhelm you, whenever you see something coming in or coming up and you're saying, oh, now this is terrifying, this is undermining me, this is shaking me, this is troubling me. When that happens, you, in an act of spiritual defiance, you set God against it. He is on my side. He is for me. His everlasting arms are underneath. He is my shield and my portion. He is my rock and my refuge. And if God is for me, who then can be against me? Let this be your reaction to fear, believer. And if you've never found a refuge before, let this be the God to whom you flee. That whatever is making you afraid, you might trust in Him and find in Him a Saviour for your souls and a Shepherd for your life through death and into all eternity. Amen. Let's pray. We thank You, our God, that there is a refuge for those who fear. We thank You that when Your people are troubled, assaulted, distressed, that they can cry out to You from the depths and You will hear them. Lord, You alone are our confidence. When everything and everyone else fails us, when we are otherwise helpless and hopeless, friendless and fundless, when it seems like everything upon which we might have relied has been stripped away from us, when we are cold and naked and alone, when our enemies are too much for us, then, O God, we will trust in You. In God, we will trust Your word. In God, we have put our trust, and then we will not be afraid. For not only can man do nothing against us, but there is nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, not principalities, not powers, not life nor death, not any created thing that is able to separate us from Your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.